You're listening to Consider This, episode 62, for January 14th, 2014. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy new year, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, welcome back to another calendar year of my conservative musings on the events of the day, brought to you in 10 minutes or less. This is Consider This, and this is Doug Payton, having barely escaped Boston with my life as they were about to be inundated with 24 inches of global warming. The website is, amazingly enough, still up and running. Scoot on over to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com for all the ways to get in touch, including having my voicemail hotline call you for free, so you can leave a message without those pesky long-distance charges. You can comment on the show notes or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. That's CT as in calico trousers. No, that's not what I got for Christmas. Big city liberalism, learning from blame, and how to reduce poverty by 80% in less than 40 years. That's coming up. Christmas may be over, but you can still use my Amazon affiliate link to do your online shopping with a sliver of the proceeds going to support the podcast. Go to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com/Amazon, or just forget the slash Amazon part and click the link on the right-hand side of the page. You pay the same price, so give it a try. Thanks. Bill de Blasio was recently elected as the mayor of New York City. De Blasio is a liberal Democrat, as opposed to the liberal Republican, Michael Bloomberg, who just left the post. The New York Times wrote a rather hopeful piece on de Blasio just before the end of the year, which included this paragraph. His administration could be a redemptive moment for a national left whose policies were often blamed for the crumbling of urban centers in the 1960s and 1970s, yet has now started to reassert itself in smaller jurisdictions with bold new approaches on issues like income equality and poverty. 1960s and 70s. How about 2010? Detroit, anyone? Anyone? Bueller? That city had half a century of Democratic rule, and look where it is now. But the Times conveniently forgets this, preferring to suggest that Democrats only screwed up 50 years ago and really haven't had a chance since then. These bold new approaches are simply novel ways of destroying the economy, which hurt the poor the most. And speaking of Detroit, I posted something on my personal Facebook page about how one of the booming businesses in Detroit is photographing the dilapidated buildings. I labeled my link to the article, "Documenting Decades of Democratic Dominance." Can you tell I like alliteration? This bothered one of my Democrat friends, who said that my bias was showing and that blaming Democrats for Detroit was like blaming Republicans for the Katrina response. His contention was that both were unfair. Well, I and some other friends of mine had to point out a few of these differences. The Republican administration wanted to come to Louisiana before the storm hit to be ready when it arrived, but the Democrats in the state capitol wouldn't allow it. The Democrats at the city level in New Orleans failed to use the resources they already had to evacuate their own people. And Democrats have been running Detroit for 50 years. To say that blaming their policies is unfair is to make one wonder how long one party has to rule a city for their policies to actually affect the city. So, no, the analogy isn't even close. And the devastation in Detroit wasn't caused by Mother Nature either. This is yet another example of how Democrats seem to take the stance that it's never their policies that failed, and in fact the best way to solve any problem they cause is to do the same thing with more money. This has always been Paul Krugman's solution regarding stimulus spending. That has always been the solution for failing public schools, poverty programs, and every other idea that just isn't panning out the way they thought it should. Oh, and when Obamacare drags down our economy, expect the same excuses, because we're already hearing them. Republicans are being accused of sabotaging it, when all they did was make the Democrats own it by not voting for it. As it is, the need to revamp the website, delay key parts of the law, these are not sabotage by any means. But Republicans will get the blame, while the Democrats will throw more money at any program that was sold as a way to reduce the deficit. Blame is useful if it's honestly applied. Using it, we can find our mistakes and correct them. Democrats will never accept it, even after half a century track record. Does that give you confidence?
You're listening to Consider This from ctpodcasting.com.
In 36 years, from 1970 to 2006, the world poverty rate fell 40%. 40%. This is people who were living on $1 a day or less. This is huge news, but you probably didn't hear about it anywhere else. I certainly didn't, until I saw the link someone posted. But the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would have put it, is how this happened. For the explanation, I defer to Arthur Brooks.
The best recipients of the blessings of free enterprise are the poor themselves. How do I know it? Go back to 1970 and compare 1970 around the world with today. It turns out that between 1970 and 2010, the worst poverty in the world, people who live on $1 a day or less, that has decreased by 80% as a percentage of the world's population. You never hear about that. It's the greatest achievement in human history, and you never hear about it. 80% of the world's worst poverty has been eradicated since 1970. It has never, ever happened before. So what did that? What accounts for that? United Nations? U.S. foreign aid? The International Monetary Fund? Central planning? It was globalization, free trade, the boom in international entrepreneurship. In short, it was the free enterprise system, American style, which is our gift to the world. I will state and I will assert and I will defend the statement that if you love the poor, if you are a good Samaritan, you must stand for the free enterprise system and you must defend it, not just for ourselves, but for people around the world. It is the best anti-poverty measure ever invented.
Not aid, not handouts, and not a government interfering with the economy. Capitalism and free enterprise are the poor's best friends. Remember this the next time a politician has a bold new approach to income equality and poverty. So, what do you think? Start the new year out right by resolving to speak out more. And you're far, far more likely to get your voice on this podcast than any of those from the major media companies. Comment on the show notes at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com or call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. Is de Blasio just what New York City needs? Or is this more of the same policies that made Detroit what it is today? Is capitalism the great hope for the poor? Or do you know of an economic program that has done better? Let me know, so that we can get the new year off right and take the time to consider this.